Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, listeners of Lower Your Expectations. Welcome back to the podcast. And today we have the wonderful lady herself, Louise Pentman.
Yes, hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Lady is correct.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm really well, thank you.
When we do a podcast with someone who I've known for a long time, it's much less pressure and also a lot less awkward. Like, usually, yeah. So whenever we have a guest that we're like, oh, a lot of high pressure, it's really hard to make it a good intro.
I fully understand.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
But with you, it's just, it's nice.
Oh.
So I thought what we'd talk about first is our background.
Yes.
How we first met, stories all about us.
Those are the golden days. Go on then, you do it.
Well, I've got a story I thought would be nice to share with the podcast. Where we really bonded was on a plane, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A long-haul flight.
But that's not when we first met.
We first met
like a solid 8 months before that.
No, it was longer than that, wasn't it? Somewhere in the city.
Yeah. And then that flight was in February.
So that was basically when Alfie and Zoe started dating.
Ooh.
Secretly dating.
I was going to say, was that public then? Or?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, you were obviously good friends with Zoe and... Alfie was like, Zoe's going to come with her friend Louise. And I was like, oh no.
Hey, why?
No, I'm joking. Of course I wasn't.
We met in a hotel room. We met in a hotel room, which is a really weird place to meet someone, actually.
Great, that's a great start to any story.
Yeah. Also, when you say that, it sounds so much more exciting and like salacious than it actually was. But it was literally like you guys were getting ready. Yeah. I was like, hiya. And you were like, hi. And that was it, really. And you had your little hat, didn't you? Your little cap.
The blue hat.
I'm going to find my... I've got a picture of a selfie in that. I'll send it to you.
Brilliant.
And then we did Summer in the City, which back in the day was going and standing in the gardens by...
The London Eye, Jubilee Gardens. And just meeting a long line of people.
Yeah, with like no security, no anything. And I'm so impressed by how far Sitsi has come. It's like such an event now.
I mean, you sound like a brand ambassador.
No, well, I don't even go to Sitsi, but I just think you've got to give them their
dues. No, of course, YouTube gatherings. I mean,
that's really what they were called,
wasn't it? A YouTube gathering, and it essentially started from weird internet kids going and standing in a field and talking about why we love the internet. Yeah, the plane vomiting story was just one where
that was nice.
We bonded over me...
Marcus got ill.
The shits and vomiting on a plane. I couldn't do anything about it. And you came and looked after me, basically. I really did. Full mum mode.
Yes.
Louise didn't need to do that. That's not in her remit. I need to look after Marcus.
When we got on the plane, you weren't that nice to me.
Wasn't I?
No. So we sat down.
Spill the tea.
Yeah, I'm going to. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to sit next to Marcus. We can have a good chat. And
I know what you're going to say.
And then as soon as you got on, you put your headphones on and you were watching something on your iPad or something. And I was like, oh, and I kept talking and you kept doing that thing when people take half an earphone off, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I thought, I don't think he wants to speak to me.
I didn't want to speak to you.
And then you got ill, then you wanted to speak to me, didn't you? Then you wanted... I put blankets on you. I actually gave you a full mummy cuddle at one point where I was like,
God, come on.
I came to you at the front when the hostess... Put you in the special toilet, and I sat outside that toilet for 45 minutes hoping you were okay.
You did.
And then we were friends forever. And everyone thinks I'm the one with the poo story, but actually, it's you.
I mean, I didn't shit myself. I mean, I was shitting in a plain toilet and I couldn't stop shitting in a plain toilet.
Of all the places to be in, it's just the worst.
And throwing up as well. So it was 1 minute shit, the next vomit. Welcome to Lower Your Expectations, everyone! Woo!
You guys are like OG YouTubers, aren't
OG,
you? Like in this space. How do you feel it's changed over the last kind of 8-9 years?
I feel like the obvious thing to say is, you know, when we started YouTube, it wasn't a job.
I didn't know that you could make money from YouTube or blogging. So I had a blog first in 2009, then in 2010 started my channel.
Yeah.
I met you, I think it was in 2011.
11.
And at that point, I hadn't even signed up to the partner program, so I was just doing it because I absolutely loved it.
But it wasn't that you didn't know. Like, when we started our channels, you couldn't earn
you could
money.
It didn't exist. Like,
it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't a thing.
It's not like you could look at some people and think, wow, they're earning this much a month, I'd like to do that, because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I think now, unfortunately, a lot of people sign up to doing this because they think this is going to be a great way to earn money, but actually it's really hard. Once you get going, it's a lot easier, and we've got going now, mm-hmm. but...
I saw something interesting in an interview the other day. I think I read it to you, Matt. There was a guy that was saying, obviously, so many kids are growing up these days wanting to become YouTube stars, vloggers, etc. And this guy basically said, you need to tell your kid, you need to, like, crush their dreams, because so many people now want to do it.
Well, it's like being a footballer, isn't it?
Yeah, the possibility of them actually becoming successful is so slim.
But, I don't know that we should crush their dreams.
I was like, oh, that's a bit harsh. But
we're just going to crush your dream there, son. No, I think definitely people should do it as a side, as a hobby. Like I was working, I was a receptionist, and I did this on the side, and then this overtook it. So I would always say to young people, have a backup plan, have another skill or a trade or a qualification.
But that's the reason you guys kind of rose to the top anyway, is because it's a passion thing. You enjoyed it. It wasn't
through
just, oh, I need to make money.
Determination. I know what it was. It was your vlog, Bin Man. The Bin Man. Have you seen it, Matt?
Of course. Oh, classic.
Oh, that is YouTube gold. One day I'd love for you to release that.
So next topic. If we were to start YouTube now, be successful?
Ooh.
Oh, I want to say yes, because I want to believe in my heart that I've got enough charisma and passion for people to like me, but I just don't think I would be as successful if I started now. I've still got the same determination and motivation to work as hard as I did in the beginning, but it is a saturated market now, so I think it would be a challenge.
Yeah, to stand out is difficult.
Yeah, but then you could say that about anything.
It is just such a saturated market now, like you said, and I feel what we got known for, people aren't really doing now. It's
challenges.
Yeah, YouTube
sort of stuff,
and what trends obviously change is in society and amongst pop culture. What we were doing then, you know, sit down collabs, all these things, people aren't really doing those as much anymore. And how would you get big these days?
We were a group, weren't we? We were like a gang, and I think we all
Brit
rose
crew.
Together.
R.I.P. Yeah. Brit Crew.
Well, I was going to say, what's
all
going
shit.
On, the Brit Crew? I'm just going to speak for, like, the fans
oh,
everywhere.
No, they're all,
who
they're all
like,
at
what's...
my house right now. Soon, when I go here from here, they're all...
No, but you don't hang out
weekend.
Anymore. What's going
it's
on? Why aren't you hanging out?
I think it makes me so sad. I would love to hang out more.
Yeah.
I think everybody is busy. I think, though, we all say we're busy, but we could all make time for each other. We don't all live in the same place. But then we didn't all live in the same place before. I wish that we could all be... a big group together still.
Yeah, it's easy to for us to go, everyone's busy, and I know people are like, oh yeah, whatever, everyone's busy, but the thing is, when we all started and it wasn't really a job, and it kind of became a job, it was all new to us, it was all so exciting, and we were all collabing, hanging out, we were doing things together as a group collectively, because no one was a brand, no one was a business. Everyone was just excited about what we were experiencing at that
also,
time.
Also, we all had just YouTube, and me and Zoe had blogs as well, so we had just our YouTube and blogs, but now there's podcasts and fashion shows and books and merchandise and just so many other strands of things that we do that we are more busy. Like, I'd love a reunion.
But
I tell
also,
you what, out of that group, I never would have thought it'd be me and you that
me too.
Stuck together, because we're so... If someone like described both of us, you wouldn't put us together as a little pair, would you?
Probably not.
But when you have a shitting experience together, that brings you together, doesn't it?
It brought us together. And I think we are quite like-minded, even though you're like, you know, you wear your nibbled, trendy clothes.
and you wear your summer dresses in the rain.
Slightly chubby mum. Like, we make it work, don't we?
So it was a natural thing, like the Brit Crew kind of separating.
Yes.
It wasn't ever like a major incident.
I can
event.
Confirm
That's
something.
It.
I can Ooh. Confirm Ooh. That there has never been a major incident. And I have seen so many people say things online and say like, oh, this happened, such said this, and I bet this happened. As far as I'm aware, and maybe someone will come out and say, actually, someone did say something, nobody has ever had a fallout. And when we all see each other, it's really nice.
Wait, for the sake of this podcast, are you sure there isn't a major event? Because it would make a great title and thumbnail.
Oh, it would.
Are you sure?
I think when you put it in retrospect, think of when you're at school and you had your best friends at school.
Yes, this is perfect.
Obviously, at that time, you were best friends. And
you'd be together what forever.
Yeah, and what you're into, you're always hanging out. But people do grow, you evolve as a person, etc. And the people that are in your life change, and that's absolutely fine. That's how life works.
It'd be weird if people didn't change.
Yeah. And I think we still have that connection of going through this crazy experience together, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to all be like...
That's a really healing way of looking at it, actually, because when I think of my school friends, I'm still kind of like in touch with them on Facebook and stuff, and I always think, oh, I'm glad for them. Oh, they're doing really well, but I just don't necessarily see them, and that's a really perfect way of looking at it. That's what's happened, and everyone's smashing it. Everyone from our group is doing really well. I'm glad that no one's dropped off
and
like quit everything and like disappeared.
It's nice that everyone's we're not all successful. Just doing YouTube. Everyone's gone, cool, this is my YouTube platform, and now I can spread my passions throughout that. But I did used to always find it funny, because sometimes when you'd meet people and they tended to be a little bit younger, they'd be like, where's Joe or where's Casper? Oh, where are you with Alfie? And it's like, no, I'm not. Like, I don't hang around with them all the time. But
well, that is a misconception, isn't it? It's a thing. People do think you guys all live like a shared house or something. Yeah, well, I guess not, because you're doing weekly vlogs. I do feel like that was a thing back in the day.
Yeah, going back to what I said to you the other day, though, it's like everyone sees whoever someone's hanging out with socially for that moment in time. You see who Jim's hanging out with. You see who I'm hanging out with through social media. You have no idea who I'm hanging out with in my private life. That's what you forget, is people judge people based on what you put on social media.
Yeah,
that's weird. We are now judged on what we put on social media.
Or I get judged for what I don't put on social media. I think that a lot of people, you know, read into things and think that I put everything on social media, and I just don't. There's so much of my life that I don't share. So I think people, they see like little snippets of what I do and then think that that's my whole life. I'm like, oh, but there's so much more. Like, most of my friends have never been on my Instagram, because they're like local women, I suppose. Like, people that I've met through Darcy's school or just through things I do in Northampton. And I do a few other little business enterprises in Northampton that I don't really share a lot. So
but
I think
that's
people
nice
think,
that
yeah.
you can keep that kind of... Because you do have, separate, we do have separate lives. What you put out there on the internet is different to how you live your life. I mean, it's still you. It's just a different version of you.
Definitely. I'm really comfortable with the split that I have.
Because would it not be exhausting if you had everything online?
I think it would just be boring. I don't think people want to see all the things I do all of my week. A lot of what I do is admin, a lot of emails, a lot of back and forth, a lot of just mum stuff. I go to soft play a lot. I like take my kids to farms and really boring places like this. Like, no, there's only so much excitement you can make from something.
But
like
I don't think
that.
That's the biggest issue with that is I don't want every single person, based on my 2-year experience of daily vlogging, looking in and judging and questioning every aspect of your life. If your whole life was online, Jesus Christ, I would struggle.
Yeah. Wait till you have children and the scrutiny is even more intense. Then you have to really hold a lot back.
I'm going to do set my baby up a vlogging channel as soon as they pop out of Steffi.
Yeah.
Hello, world!
Little GoPro.
Guess
them.
The name. Hashtag the name.
You vote now.
Yeah.
Instagram votes my baby's name.
Poll for the baby's name. That's what I'm doing.
That's definitely a thing.
Louise. Hashtag Louise.
And it's sad.
Do you think it's sad?
Yeah. Like,
why?
Well, because there's like, it's just removing the realm of reality into giving power to social, to like followers. It's like you lose the aspect of family life. It becomes, I don't know.
I disagree. I think that you can be... So I don't daily vlog, but I film about 3 to 7 minutes a day. No, sometimes like 10 minutes a day. And I put it all together on a Sunday. I've seen daily vloggers, and I think they still do have a private life. Like, when you think of the Sakuna Jolies, I think that they definitely have a private life. And they just film the bits. You've got sucked into it and thought that's the whole day, but it's not their whole day.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's sad that people are doing that about letting people vote for their baby's name.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is
that's,
like...
That's a bit much.
But even some daily vloggers' family, it's like, they know that if they're having a baby, that's like, back of their head, that's paychecks, because that's going to be better for business. That is just fact, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I have definitely had more opportunities when I was pregnant and when I had Pearl, definitely. But I didn't have... And I don't think people... Well, speak
for
myself.
Pearl for
I didn't
that
have
sole
Pearl.
No,
so I was
course,
like, cha-ching, going to make some money out of this baby.
But that I question that sometimes about people who are like on their sixth or seventh. I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like...
I don't know. I think as a mother, I'm like, oh, I don't think a woman would have a baby just to make money. But maybe I'm being naive. I think there are definitely some daily vloggers and I watch and think, for my comfort levels, you're sharing too much of your family and your children. Yeah. But I think that's down to everybody makes their own limits and they have to decide themselves and we just have to respect their decisions. Hashtag, I'm so PC.
On that fence.
This fence feels real good.
Both of you guys have like changed your identity over the, because you've been on for so long, like naturally that's happened.
Yes.
How do you feel about doing that?
We've had an identity crisis on YouTube, both of us, haven't we?
That's not what I'm saying, that you're saying that. But what is it like evolving online and people, well, your audiences being a part of that?
It's really stressful. It's just so stressful. So what happens is, this was the cycle for me. You start, you're enjoying it. It all goes up and up. It's so exciting. You start to think, am I really enjoying this? Do I really want to make this? Not really, but I've got to because that's what people want. I'm making more of it. I'm hating it. They're loving it, but they're going to soon see that I'm not loving it and they're going to hate it. And oh my God, then I'll be over. So I'm going to change. I'm going to do what I want to do, but will they like it? Oh my God, I've changed. Some people don't like it and they've left and now everything's gone down and I'm a failure and it's never going to be good again. And then it starts to rise up slowly again, like a phoenix from those desperate, desperate ashes.
Wow.
Do you feel better getting that out?
I feel better. That's been in for a long time.
We're in this together. No, but it is. It is, like you said, it's very stressful and it's very hard because as individuals, we change over time. I compare it to like a TV show. Imagine you're a massive fan of EastEnders.
You used to be, and
you're watching it, you're loving it, you've been watching it for 2 years, and then all of a sudden, they come out and they're like, actually, we want to incorporate some sci-fi into this.
You'd be a bit like,
but I love EastEnders how it is. What's going on? They're like, oh, but I'm sorry, we've changed as a person.
It's like when Instagram changed their logo from the little brown one to like the little multicoloured one. I was like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah. And think how dramatic that is over an app. We're talking about human emotions and feelings here.
Yeah, it's hard, but worth it. I think that if something's not working, change it. And if you're in a similar position, have a think about what you do want, because the thing with our line of work and our line of passion as well is that it's so authentic, and the minute you stop liking it and you're just doing it to please someone or you're just doing it for the financial gain, you are going very wrong and you will quickly plummet. So I always think now my videos get the same amount of views as they did all those years ago, and you would think that with trajectory they would go up. They don't, but the quality of what I'm making, not necessarily like the production quality, because that's still like crap because it's me making it, but like what I'm doing, I love so much more, and the topics that I'm covering and the people that I'm reaching.
Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about if you're really happy. We literally spoke last night privately. Speak privately.
Sent you a little sad text, didn't I? Yeah, I was feeling a bit sad.
But it was that, and it was like, oh, it's nice that we can be really happy with where we are with the stuff we're putting out, because I feel like we're growing as people and we're putting out what we really want to put out.
I mean, I'm old now, I'm 33, so I feel pretty settled in my life. Thinking about getting a dog when I'm 40. For my 40th, I'd quite like a Labrador.
That's quite a like far away wish.
I'm a planner. Yeah, I like to plan things.
Do you?
There's things I want to do in my
30s.
So
just change throw you off if like,
yes.
Oh my God, if you have something organised and it's like...
I can't. Oh, sometimes I cry. I'm a Taurus and I don't like anything to change. I like routine. Like if somebody said, oh, this weekend, are you coming to do this? And it got all planned. And then you were like, oh, actually, let's go to Edinburgh. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be sick.
Okay.
Or if you said, like, oh, we're going on a book tour. I've booked a hotel, but I've just changed it. But I've already looked at pictures of that hotel online. I feel comfortable with that one. I don't want you to change it.
That must be so difficult with your line of work, though. And like, because things
people
change all the time, don't they?
People hate working with me. Everyone I work with is pretty good because they know just to keep things stable. I don't cope with change very well. Like, moving house really shit me up. Not shook me up, shit me up. I'm only now, and I've been in that over a year, like thinking, yes, this is my home. I feel good about this. I don't like it when people leave, like Charlotte is leaving Gleam this week, and I'm so sad about it.
I just had a team from Gleam leave as well. It's a sad time.
It's so hard.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We both took a risk, I feel, in choosing to, or opting to try it full time. I did anyway. I left a full time job to go, you know what, I'm going to try this and actually try and make this my full time job.
I slightly didn't, because I was working full time and then I was pregnant with my first daughter, Darcy, and then I didn't go back to my job. So I had a job, but I didn't go. It's not like I had to hand in my notice, like, this is my last day, I'm jumping off the precipice.
Yeah, but still, how old were you then? Like 20, 24, 25?
I was 26.
That could have been more of a risk for you, going, you know what, I'm going to like really go for YouTube. You've just had a kid. Whereas I was like, okay, I had a full-time job, but I was still, like, I could have probably gone back to uni, I could have done this, could have done that.
Yeah.
Having a kid and stuff, do you ever think that was a lot of pressure?
I didn't think of it as pressure at the time. I thought of it as an opportunity. I'm a pretty positive person, so I look at most things as opportunities, and I thought this is just a massive opportunity. And if it doesn't work, I knew that I would still have my degree qualification, I would still have the workplace skills that I'd built over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I felt like if it doesn't work, I'll just apply for a job and interview for it like everyone else and hope for the best. But I'm the eternal optimist, so no, I didn't feel pressured. I just thought this is exciting and a bit ballsy.
But I think to be successful in any industry, there's a big part of that, isn't there? It's taking risks and it's going for it.
Fortune favours the brave. That's one of my favourite quotes. I'm thinking about getting that made and put up in my lounge.
Do you think vlogging, going back to like daily vlogging with kids and stuff like that, mm-hmm. will have an effect on the children?
Oh, such a good question.
Because we're obviously in a place in the YouTube world and society where kids are growing up in daily vlogging families where their camera's in their face, they sort of don't know it, whatever. What's that going to be like? Do you have an opinion?
Well, I do think about this a lot. The answer is I don't know the answer because we haven't got there yet. We are in a pioneer industry, so it's not like we can look back and at other examples. Yep. We are the first examples. I am a little bit worried about it, and that is why I don't film Darcy very much. So I think that when there's a baby, you can't judge a baby. All babies are pretty much the same. They all do the same thing.
Cute,
yeah, they're just little bundles of fat. When they're toddlers, they're just these cute little silly little things that, you know, run around very cute. You can't judge a toddler. As a child grows into a child and they start having a little bit more like autonomy over their personality and their characteristics shows, I worry that people could judge a child. That's not to say I would, but I think people do. And they might say, oh, that child's not at a reading level that my child is, or God, that child's really annoying. He's really loud. She's really quiet. And so I make a conscious effort to not really show a great deal of Darcy's personality because that's hers.
Yeah.
And what I would hate to happen is one day for her to grow up and feel like she had so much of herself put out there to a public she doesn't know about, and that they had judged her before she was even aware that she was being judged. So I will include her in videos, but it's very, very carefully edited and actually quite contrived. So I'll show her in happy mood where she's got something to say about a thing, but I don't really... If you were to watch my videos, you wouldn't know Darcy. And I'll do the same for Pearl as well. At the moment, as a baby, I'm quite comfortable to show lots of her because she's just being a baby. But as she grows into her personality, she'll be pulled back as well because her personality is her own.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't judge any of the parents that film their children more than mine or less than mine. I think you have to make your own choice.
I love that covering all aspects.
Well, but it's true because...
I'd never considered the personality point. I think that's a really interesting topic, isn't it?
The thing that I think weirdly about is how that child feels when they're older. Imagine when the child's, say, 25. I'm not talking about Darcy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more in like a daily vlogging family.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen awful things happen in families on YouTube. Shay Carl and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, how might that affect the child? Or what if that child's 25? And imagine, like, now, if we were like, oh, I can go back and watch all my childhood with my family, or maybe previous families, or...
I think that's so nice. Not to, like, make this sad or anything. My mum died when I was 7, and if I could go back and watch videos of us, I would just love that. Like, yeah. I can't remember what my mother's voice sounds like. Like, if my mum was suddenly alive and shouted Louise, I wouldn't know that was her. So I would absolutely love to go back, and I'm really happy to have all the footage of my kids. And when they go back, I'm so excited for them to watch, like, the adventures we had. And when I look at the Michalaks and I see their videos, I think they do them so tastefully, and I think, oh, that... Grayson and Rufus are going to watch this back and be like, oh, these are lovely. I think that's really, really nice. I know what you're saying, because what about when it all goes wrong? But you have to just hope that if you're going to make the decision to vlog every day, then you just have to hope it doesn't all go wrong.
Does Darcy ever want to watch back videos? And does she look at the comments? Does she do any of that? Or is it just watching the video?
She does. So Darcy loves watching back our videos. Oh, it's really cringy because regularly I can hear my old videos. And, like, and also she vlogs herself. So what she doesn't know is that I just don't upload any of the footage. But she'll turn my camera on.
That's very cute.
And she doesn't know that it's not recording, because you can put our cameras on like that and you can just see. And she thinks that's on. So she'll take the camera off and go and do a little vlog. So she absolutely loves it.
My heart's just melted.
I know. She's really sweet. And on my phone, there's so many videos of her, like, doing little videos and stuff. She loves watching them. And the comments, my audience are just really kind. I have a lot of really nice people. Plus, I've blocked a lot of keywords that are negative. So she would really struggle to find a negative
that's
comment.
That's good.
What would you do if she was like, Mum, I want to be like you and I want to vlog?
Well, she is like that. At the moment, I'm just like, lovely, that's nice, yes, you will. As she gets older, I'm going to say, you've got to go to school and have a qualification and you've got to have another idea.
Yeah.
And if you want to vlog alongside it, then you've got my blessing too, and I'll help you.
So if, say, Darcy or Pearl, they're like, right, I'm going to make this my full-time job. I'm going to be a YouTuber. What would your advice be to them? And to anyone else listening who wants to become a YouTuber?
I don't know.
If you have one piece of advice. I know, because there's so many things to talk about. But if there was one piece of key advice that really helped you, what would that be?
Well, I mean, practical advice, like, sit near a window and make sure you have decent audio. But then also, as far, I would say, keep your integrity. Make sure you've still got that. And everything you do, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
The only thing I was in the same position would be, I would try and hold back for as long as they were, because I think we still change so much. Even when I look at what I was doing when I was 20, I'm still like, oh my God, like,
let's not forget Bin Man.
Yeah, but you do, like, stupid things that might embarrass you later in life.
A lot of my earlier videos I have put on private, like, over 200.
200?
Oh yeah, just...
Ugh. Were you daily vlogging back then?
No, I was just putting up, like, a lot of sit down chatty video. Oh, so awful. So many of them are gone. Yeah. Have you privated any of your videos? Apart from Bin Man?
Yeah, loads.
You've both vlogged either daily, weekly, and been in relationships and shown relationships and things like that. How do you deal with that? In terms of, like, people commenting and people speculating. When you're thinking about what to and what not to upload in terms of your relationship, what's the mindset there too?
Yeah, I was in a long-term relationship, was married, and I didn't really think about it because I didn't think that it would end. And unfortunately it did, and we've both moved on very happy. But now I'm a lot more cautious and I don't really share. People know I'm in a relationship, and, you know, if Liam walks past in the background, I won't be like, oh no, I've got to redo that bit or edit him out. Like, he can be around, but he's not in my show. So it's the Louise show, and Liam is not really, he's not in the cast of that. Like, in real life, he's in my show. But I don't do sit down videos with him. I don't sort of ask him to ever talk in a video or be part of it. And that's for two reasons. One is I just really enjoy keeping that private, and I'm not looking for anyone's comment on that. And also, I'm always going to be, like, a little bit scarred and a little bit scared that it will come to an end, because I've experienced that before. And it's very painful when that happens. But then to have everybody watching you as well is much harder. So I think it does change you. And that's sad that you can't go into something really excited, like jumping in like a puppy, and you tread carefully. But I think that that's the same for everybody, for all parties. I think it's very hard as well in the age we live in that you can still see past relationships online. So if I wanted to, I could go back and watch, you know, videos when I was happily married, or if I really wanted to, I could go and see like what ex-partners are doing now, because even ones that aren't like doing it for a job still have social media. But back in like 40 years ago or 30 or 20 or even 10, you just sort of got on and like out of sight, out of mind. So I think it's definitely harder, and it's made harder when people comment. But the debate is, if you put your life out there, do you have a right to tell people not to comment? And I'm not sure that I do, because if I choose to say, come into my life and support me in the things I want you to support me in, but now I'm telling you to shut up, I don't think it works like that.
I think that's something I struggled with, is because, I daily vlogged, and there are obviously, I've spoken so many times about them before, positives and negatives of daily vlogging. Breakups, obviously, are one of them. People looking in on your relationship, but you have opened yourself up to that, you know.
You have invited them in.
So how I look at it now with Steffi is, it's like, she is also a public figure in her own right, but I never feel like I have to do stuff with her. What I post of her is genuinely... I'm genuinely happy. Like, I just want to put that out there. I'm not trying to gain validation from anyone, but it's just, I am happy to put this out of me with the person.
Breakups must have been so much easier in like the 80s. When there's, you're right, the social media thing, even if they're not in the public eye, is like, once you're done, you never see him again.
I had a boyfriend who I've never named, so now I'm like, oh, now it's almost like he's the unnamed one. It's just I never said his name online. And he dumped me, cruelly he dumped me. And then I just deleted him as a friend on my Facebook, and it was glorious. I was like, this is great. Now I don't see you or anything like that.
But that's very common to do in a breakup.
It
now.
Is, but like, for us, you've got people that you've been in relationships with who are still online, and so have I, and also I share a child, so obviously there's not that clean split.
Remove, you're out of my life.
Yeah, but I have to say, when I deleted the unnamed, I was like, yes, great. He was very small in my life. It was only for a few months.
You're an author.
Yes, I am. Wild About the Girl is available now in all good bookstores and supermarkets and Amazon. Get it now.
There we go. Glad that's out of the way. What was your writing process?
So this is the third book I've written, but the second non-fiction. The first book was Wild Like Me, and what happened was I had this idea for a book that I wanted to write, went to the publishing houses, got accepted by Bonnier Zafra, who are amazing, and then started writing it. And what you do is, I had an editor, I still do, called Ellie, and she is wonderful.
Is she the... Have you used her since day one?
Yeah.
That's cool.
She
is
my beloved editor. And she was so behind my idea, and that made such a difference. She didn't want to fluff it up. So it's women's fiction, or as I like to call it, female-led fiction, because women's fiction isn't just for women, but it is female-led, yes. And it is lighthearted, and there's a lot of comedy running through it, but it has some really serious elements to it. So the first one touches a lot on mental health, touches on relationships breaking down, single motherhood, the menopause, a lot of things. And so I wrote that, and I would send, basically, I wrote out all my ideas, and then I put my idea, broke it all down, put them on post-it notes on this huge, massive, long sheet of paper. And then Ellie helped me write what order the post-it notes go in. Because I was like, oh, she's going to have an argument. And she was like, should she have that argument before that scene with her daughter or after? And I was like, And then for every post-it note, I would write like a few thousand words, put it all in one big document. And then at the end, Ellie went through it with me and helped me how to stitch it all together.
What I could relate to that, it sounds almost like a showrunner in the writing world. So when we write shows, it's like we often need some like expertise to go, oh, actually, this storyline needs to link with this and et cetera, et cetera. So in terms of relating to that, it sounds like you have that showrunner.
Basically, she's called an editor. And then she'll read through the whole thing at the end and be like, okay, I think that this bit needs a bit of strengthening. This bit we could take out, et cetera. So the process for the second was very similar, and the second book is much juicier because the first one was setting up all the characters and setting the scene a lot, and the second one deals with one of the biggest taboos that women face, which I can't tell you what it is because it's such a spoiler for the book.
Can you tell us after we've stopped recording?
Yes, I can, and I really wanted to shine a light on that and make a conversation out of it. It's currently number 2 Times best-selling charts.
Nice.
So it's doing really well. I'm really happy. And I just started yesterday. In fact, in this very notebook, started writing the notes for book 3 and loosely planning book 4. And also, I would like to do a children's book from the perspective of the child in Wild Like Me and Wild About
like
the Girl.
A spin-off.
Okay. Yes.
Cool. So is the book the, is that the aspect of your career that you're most proud of? You seem really
yes.
passionate about
oh,
it.
Oh, so proud, because I've poured so much love and determination and just like blood, sweat and tears into this. If anyone asks me what I do, I generally say author. It used to be vlogger with books on the side, and now I think author with social media on the side. Definitely. Cool. That's where I see myself long term. Because, I mean, how long are people going to watch a slightly chubby mum go to Waitrose for? I mean, how long have I got of that?
So does that frustrate you then, that I feel like we're moving past it now, but there used to be a stigma about
yes.
YouTubers writing books.
Yes, it
and
does.
A lot of people in the
so
YouTube community used to
yes!
be very mean about other YouTubers writing books.
Did they? I didn't see any of that. Did they? Were they a bit bitter and jealous, were they? Gosh, I feel for them.
But like mainstream media as well seem to be more accepting of
yeah,
it. There's not
I think
as much
so.
Of a taboo. Like, oh, another YouTuber book, like eye roll. It's not like that anymore.
I don't find it is. I think I've proven myself now because I've put out two
but you had,
female-led
so you felt
fictions.
Like you had to prove yourself.
I had to, yes. So the first book I did was Life with a Sprinkle of Glitter. And that was really aimed at that young market. And it was 18 chapters, each one focusing on a different life thing. And the number one question I got asked was, did you write it? And I did. And then the next book I did, I was still being asked it. But now I've just done like a nationwide book tour. I haven't been asked that at all. I think
which is
people,
nice.
Yeah, it's really nice because people are, they're loving it and respecting it, which I'm really glad of. And people now are reading my books, like the Wild books, and not going, oh, they're by that YouTuber Louise. Yeah. They're saying, have you read those books about Robin Wilde? And it's
that's
not
cool.
about me. And I really like that. I think there's a lot of longevity in that. And where my heart is. What about you, Marcus? You wrote a really great book.
Is there a book two on the line?
Is there a book two on the
I
line?
I've got 7 books. Got a 7-book deal, actually.
A 7? No, yeah. You have not. I was like, what the fuck?
Is your name Jay Wicks?
I feel like I said what I had to say in my book. It wasn't a fiction book. It was non-fiction. It was my life. And it's funny because I look back on that book now and a lot of things have changed, like about who I am since mm-hmm. that book. I mean, a quarter of that book was about my old relationship. So it's like,
it's
obviously
awkward.
It changed. A lot of the book is still very me, but it was also a time when I was super into healthy, not even super into healthy, when I was at my like too far healthy stage of almost obsessive.
Well, and Dan Howell and I had a little joke about you, didn't we?
Did you?
Oh, I thought you knew about this. You know about this.
No,
you do know about this.
Ages ago.
You
used
yeah.
to say, would Marcus eat this or something?
No.
Something
you
like
know
that.
How there's a big craze where people have those wristbands that say WWJD, which stands for What Would Jesus Do? To encourage
yeah.
you to make
yeah.
the right choices.
Yeah.
Well, we had WWMD, so we would be like in a restaurant, we were like, oh, WWMD. Yeah.
I
what
mean,
would Marcus
I love that
do?
I made it into yours and Dan's private choices about food. That makes
yeah.
me that
we
makes
really
me happy.
Enjoyed that.
The Big Question is a segment where I go and read some very normally random articles, get a funny headline, and then devise a question from that for you guys to answer.
I am so ready for this. Give it to me.
The headline is, French theme park trains crows to pick up attractions litter.
Yeah, that's great.
Are they not trying to eat it? What are they doing with it? Like, are they
picking
it up?
You will
find out.
They've been trained, surely. Pick it and put it in the bin. Like a
have
game.
They?
Well, they're specifically picking up cigarette ends and rubbish in exchange for food. So that's nice. That's
but their little mouths yeah, would get all ashy. And crows are very, very, very clever birds. And yeah. they can make tools.
It's the theme park Puy de Fou cool. in Vendée.
Well, I think that's fantastic. They're picking up litter, but I'm not sure that you should be using birds because they'll get ashy mouths and their tongues will get horrible. That's not nice.
yeah.
I feel bad for them.
So there's 6 of them. They're, like you said, they are very, very intelligent.
There's a solution to this. Don't smoke because it's gross and don't drop your little stubby ash stick.
I mean, the solution to everything would be recycle and put your litter away as a normal
yeah,
human
a
being. Don't
yeah.
have birds pick up your shit.
Don't be a litter bug.
I mean, we're ruining your article right here, aren't we? We're
no.
actually,
what's your next article?
Right, what's the question?
No, but the thing is,
oh,
you are right. Like, we
all
know people who are doing this because who is dropping litter? And it's so annoying, isn't it? I always think, oh, well, I would never do that. But who is? There are people who will just chuck a crisp packet on the floor in a park.
Do you know what I learned from my mum? Like, if I was a kid and I did something stupid like that, she would always go, Marcus, if everyone did that,
yeah.
Like, my example is if I threw an apple core out the window, she'd be like, everyone did that.
There'd be a lot of apple cores.
Yeah. We'd be living in apple cores. I was like, oh my God, you're right, Mum.
You're right, Mum.
I'll stop doing that.
So my question to you guys is, if you could train a crow to do anything, what would it be?
Is the crow super, can I like increase its strength abilities?
It
can
do anything.
Can I evolve it like a Pokemon?
You can.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to make my crow be my own personal Deliveroo service.
Okay.
So it can take money from me, cash, and take it to like Wagamama's, and also train it to use the cash point if it needed to. If I didn't have cash on me, that's what I would train the crow to do. It would be really big though, so that it would have the physical strength to do it, but also invisible, because I know that if I saw a giant crow holding a Wagamama's bag, but also people would try and catch it and experiment on it and steal my knowledge, so I'd make it invisible.
Are you naming this crow or not?
Crowster.
Okay. Well, seeing as we've gone into the sci-fi, like, we can do whatever realm.
The crow can do anything.
Yeah. Okay.
You're the man with a freaking light bulb on his arm, Mr. Yeah. Like, oh, I love ideas. Think outside the light bulb.
My crow would become my personal spaceship. It can take me to anywhere in the universe. Outside the Milky Way.
I feel like you've gone too far now.
I've gone too far.
Oh, sorry, no, that idea's too big or too stupid.
Think outside the light bulb.
Well, where in the universe are you going to go?
Where no human being's gone before.
That's
and guess
so
what?
Lonely.
Because
Why?
The crow's so magical, I'm not going to die. It just provides me a constant, whatever heat supply I need, whatever oxygen supply I need, that crow has that.
I don't think you do that. Do you know why? Because you miss Steffi too much.
Did I not tell you? It's two people.
I would get my crow to be my personal trainer and just be a like, really good motivational person to do it, because I can't afford a personal trainer. So I could get the crow to do this for me.
Okay.
And it's just like, come on, Matt, let's sort it
out. So it's talking to you.
It's talking to me. All right.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Great. And that was the big question.
And that rounds up Lower Your Expectations this week with Louise Pentland. Thank you very much for coming on. I hope you've enjoyed chatting in our lovely sound booth.
I have loved it. There's nowhere I would rather be right now than in this tiny, tiny room with you two.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I hope you guys enjoyed listening at home. Please continue to subscribe to the podcast wherever you want to subscribe to.
That was really smooth.
Thank you. Continue to give it 5-star reviews, and we will see you guys next Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye, bye, bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.